Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You and Rise to Win for our youth movement listeners. My name is Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. This show is created and has been created to bring together leaders, individuals, people who are making a difference in their lives and the lives of our youth. And today we have a show that is going to be, what can I say, it's going to be challenging to engage with because it is a situation that is taking place, but it is a situation that is quite dramatic. It really reveals a lot of the issues that we are facing as a nation, as well as in our communities, our at-risk communities. And my guest is the founder of an organization called MAMA, Mothers Against Murderers Association. And this organization was created because of a need. And the need was regarding mothers who lost youth to gun violence. And where I live in West Palm Beach, Florida, we do have a situation with gangs. And obviously, if you are on one side of the tracks, you will say, okay, that's the challenge, that's the problem. Now, if you are on the other side of the tracks and you are part of the community that suffers gang violence and all of these issues that gang violence represents, then you are left with quite a bit of dilemmas to deal with. And this organization, Mothers Against Murderers Association, was created in response to the need that erupted with families having to deal with the challenges, the consequences, the feelings, the need. And this organization is a support unit to foster a call to action. And what I'd like to say is, the founder of this organization, her name is Angela Williams. Now, Angela will tell you her story of why she began with this organization in just a little moment, but what I will say to you is that she has been working in the community for the past 5 years with Mothers Against Murderers Association, and since I met her, at the time when I met her a few months back, 4 months ago, Angela had with her approximately 45 moms. And unfortunately, when I spoke with Angela last week, that number had risen to about 73 moms. And I can tell you that most likely when Angela begins to share with you the story, that number may have even increased after this weekend. So this truly is an organization that is impacting the community. It's making a difference. Angela and a team of the ladies who are moms who have suffered violence, those who have been able to deal with the challenges are now advocating and going back into the school system and working within the community to raise awareness for what they do, to raise awareness for prevention and intervention. And this obviously is something that can touch anyone. And at this point, there aren't really barriers to the effects that gun violence has on families, on people, and most specifically in the moms. So at this time, I'd like to introduce you to Ms. Angela Williams. Angela, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Sandra.
Well, thank you so much, and I welcome you on Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth.
It's a pleasure to be on the radio with you today.
Well, it's excellent because since I met you, you truly affected me and you brought to my life just such an awareness to the need that we all have to really participate in our communities and participate at whichever level we are brought to participate in by God's Spirit and your circumstance and how you began with this organization. It's moving, and I'd like to just start off with that. If you could share with us why you got started with this organization, what called you to action?
Yes, sure. Back in 2003, January the 1st, my nephew, Tory Donnell Manuel, was the second person to get murdered on New Year's Day. And my sister was going through a very, very tough time at that time when she lost her son to gun violence. And matter of fact, Sandra, he was murdered right in front of where he lived. he was laying right there in front of the door when I got there to the scene. And he was shot 7 times with an AK-47 rifle. And my sister, like I was saying, she was going through so much dealing with his death. And God just gave me guidance, because I prayed to him and I asked for guidance and leadership, and he blessed me with this organization that called Mothers Against Murderers Association. And from that word, I had this, had it to be the acronym of MAMA, and we took off from there. I started out with one, now I'm at 73. And yesterday I had another mother join, and now I'm at 74.
See, and I knew it because this morning, yesterday morning, in the news, we heard there was a gang violence over the weekend where a person started shooting an entire group of people. I believe it was about 50 people and 50 kids that stood, they were playing, or were they not?
Yeah, that was in Miami, I believe, if you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was in Miami. It's very, very sad for those families. I know what they're going to be going through up there in Miami. And we just out here just praying for everybody. The violence must cease. We are losing too many young people to gun violence on our streets. And something has to be done about it.
And the other, what I would like to say to the audience is that with the moms that come to this group, they are not just representing that individual mom, but they are representing the families, the siblings, the parents, the grandparents. And oftentimes, these youth are not the youth who are the perpetrators, or they are not the youth who are in trouble, or they are not the youth. There are youths, like in your case as well with your nephew, there are youths who are working to change their lives, to go forward. They're going to school, or they just happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and they become victims of gun violence.
And that is so true. I have several cases in this office just like that, that was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Matter of fact, my niece, who was 16 years old, that was murdered as well, she was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I have experienced myself personally. I have lost 7, 5 nephews and 2 nieces right here in Palm Beach County. And some of my mothers that's who's in part of my group have lost 2 and 3 kids. So it's really tough behind these 4 walls on trying to cease the fire of the gun violence.
Angela, if you could share with us how that can be that a family will lose 3 siblings or 7 to gun violence, can you help us understand so that people can really realize, well, you know what, maybe I may not be living in that area, but this is a possibility, and this is happening to families, and this is happening to parents who love their children, and this is the happening in our nation and in our communities.
Yes, it's happening everywhere. In one of my cases, my family, I lost a niece and nephew from the brother and sister. The niece died in 99. She was 12 years old, and her brother died last year. He was murdered. It could be years apart, but it's happening. You know, so we just don't know that death angel is everywhere, and it's going to take a whole community to try to stop this. We can't turn our head in the opposite direction when we see something going on another direction. We have to pull together on trying to stop the violence, because we don't know who child is going to be next.
I know that my whole purpose is really working with at-risk youth and seeing what the potential risk is. I see it as the child is not only at risk sometimes within their home and within the home environment, even within their own family members. Of course, we have so many different issues that can perpetrate a child's life. But once they step out, being in your group, I was able to listen to other moms who said, you know, these children are stepping out of their home, having to duck, having to worry, having to look outside their window to see if someone may be there. And can you share some of that? What can that look like? What does that look like for a child who lives in maybe a specific area?
That's true. And see, a lot of things that going on with the kids and these families, the mothers and the fathers just don't know. When those kids go off to school, we don't know who they are not getting along with other students. And when they come home, who they're not playing with. You know, the parents in some cases just don't know. And sometimes our kids are into something that we don't even know they are into. So it's a lot of issues around that. But only thing we can do, we got to check on our kids. It's no such thing as, I believe, Sandra, a child has to have privacy in my home. You know, when it comes down to privacy, you're supposed to be able to look in that child's room and check that child's homework and see what's going on in that child's life. See, those kids go in that bedroom and close that door and lock that door, parents need to check and see what's in those dresser drawers or what is underneath that bed or what is in that closet. We just don't know what our kids are into. So we got to help think for them as well, you know, because you send them off to school one way and they go another direction. You just don't know unless that school calls. Parents got to be more aware of what's going on in their child's life.
And what can kids do for themselves? What can, you know, what do you see from having this experience of being now and working with 74 moms, which is an incredible number? You know, this is one organization where you don't want to have membership rising.
That's true. I wish I didn't have any members, to be honest with you, this way, and this, you know, in such a negative way. But one thing I do when we go out to the schools, we go to the Palm Beach County schools when we are invited. We go into the high schools, the middle schools, and the alternative schools. What I try to do when I speak to the kids is they need to obey their parents. They need to obey the teachers and principals as well, the adults in the school. But they need to tell if they see something that's not right. If you see a child doing something's wrong or have a gun, you need to tell an adult so they can try to stop it, because we don't know what's going to be next. There's too many guns out there, and we have to try to get the kids to just, you know, go up and whisper in the principal's ear or the teacher's ear. Tell them that you see so-and-so with a gun. You have to tell someone, and that's what I try to stress to the kids, and I try to stress to them as how education is so important to get an education. Stay in school. Don't do drugs. Those things that we were taught when we was young, you know. One thing we were taught is you have to obey the adult. And that, it's like the kids don't got away from that. They don't even obey their parents. So, you know, we got to try to take control of those kids' lives again. And it starts early. You can't wait till the child get in high school to try to cease this. You got to start in elementary. You know, you have to try to lead the child the right way. And they'll follow.
Now, do you think that it is because people and adults are afraid to bring this type of awareness to a child where they don't realize or they don't want to realize that, look, these children are very much aware of this without having any form of limitations or parameters or guidance in how to not get involved? Do you think that that contributes?
You know, those kids are very aware of gun violence. These kids know more than we do, be honest with you. They know a lot. And you can't shield a child from what's going on in the community. You have to educate them on what's going on in the community. You know, If you don't educate them, they say, see something happening, they won't even do anything about it. And they could be the innocent one, just standing there like my niece. You know, so you have to educate kids on what's going on. I know a lot of parents try not to let a child know about this or what's, you know, all these murders that are going on. But you gotta train your child. You gotta tell them what's going on in the community. Just like you teach them to read and math and arithmetic and English, you gotta tell them about gun violence and who strangers are. You know, you just gotta bring the old school back into our neighborhoods.
See, it takes, like, you know, we're going back to Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village. You know, today, in today's world and in today's time, I've always said, you know, if we want to make a change in our country, we need to start at the grassroots level, and we need to get everyone involved, meaning the ministers, the educators, the nonprofit organizations, and the community. You know, if a child comes out of school and he is being persecuted or he is being followed or he's being asked and tantalized to start drugs or to do something that he shouldn't do, you know, and chances are with peer pressure, and if he's one little skinny kid and all of a sudden you have a gang of five, you know, who are bigger, older, whatever, you know, they have a lot more pull on that child. Well, where's that child going to go? Who can he go to at that moment, you know, at that moment when he needs to run, where can he go?
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's going to take a whole village.
You know, for me,
that's why we're here. I can't do it by myself, Sandra. It's totally impossible. But it's going to take, like you say, it's going to take a whole village. it's going to take everybody to help stop these kids from dying on the streets. I have attended over 100 funerals, you know, and I helped over 100 families, and I attended like over 60 funerals. And it's just the organization is steady growing, not in the way I want it to grow.
And let me ask you, share with us, because again, it's we're talking about, you know, race, we're talking about all these different words that create labels and that create partition and separation in people. What you are representing is the human race and the motherhood and the familyhood of having relationships with children where all of a sudden a child is taken away and his life is finished because of something that could have been prevented or it could have been curtailed. And of course we can say we have issues. Yes, we know there are issues, but there are also solutions. Help us also, if you can share with us a story or an assessment of these moms that you've helped, what is the feeling? What does a mother go through when this happens?
First, Sandra, to be honest with you, these mothers are just almost like at the suicidal stage, some of the mothers. You don't care this child. Imagine caring a child for 9 months. And all of a sudden, someone decided to put that trigger to that child's head and take his life. That mother's life is never the same again from that moment on. So what we do is we immediately step in and help these mothers with the grieving process. And when they come in, they are normally victims of losing their loved one. And then I try to get them to they go through 3 stages, and I try to get them to the second stage, which is a survival, learning to survive without that child. And that is a challenge itself, trying to move on each day. Because you have all those holidays coming in between, and those are setbacks. And then once they get to that stage and they're able to cope with losing a child, then we move on to an advocate, and then we're able to fight to try to save our kids. But it's very, very devastating when a mother loses their child to gun violence. And I tell people it's a big difference. If you got an ill child that's suffering from cancer and you want peace for that child, you know, because you've had a child suffering, and opposed to someone just taking a gun and shoot your child and take an innocent baby's life. I have a baby in my arm that I lost in this organization, one of my members. I think the baby was about 4 or 5 months old, and the father decided to take the child's life. And this mother was to my last meeting, and it was her first time to my circle of healing on last 2 weeks ago on a Thursday evening. And she was just devastated. Although the child got murdered back in a year ago, she just was still like at stage one. And that's where we come in to try to help those mothers live again.
I believe that was when I went and I visited your organization. We participated in your healing circle, and that mom came there at that day, if it was the same mom that had lost that her child. And I remember also another mom, if she's not the same, who was also pregnant at the time with that man's child.
Yeah, that's a different mom. Yes, that's a different mom, yes. See, that's what I'm seeing. That's why we're growing so fast. Mm. Yes, a totally different mom. That mom was pregnant at the time, and she had the baby. And so, she had a little baby, and she still stays in contact with me. I stay in contact with all the moms, but, you know, it's just some of them are just having such a rough time. They just don't even want to wake up in the morning. But this mom just came in and joined the organization, and she's a young mother, and she is so devastated. She don't know which way to look, left or right, because of, you know, the loss of her baby. And now, like I said, I'm starting from my 5 months old up to the age of 35. I have in this office now of victims of violence.
And then you also take care, you also have some after-school programs for the siblings?
Yes, we have an after-school program. Everything is done by grassroots, and I also have a summer camp that's going to be getting ready for this summer. And we also give back to the community. We have a back-to-school drive, and also we do a large Christmas drive throughout the year. But we currently don't get any funding for the for operational expense. My family pool their money together every month and try to make the bills in this office. We don't get anything from the any grants or anything right now, and we've been just trying so hard to keep these doors open without, you know, we don't have community help that way. But we try to keep the doors open so we can help these mothers that have lost their loved ones.
Because this is the only place that they have to go.
It's the only place they have to come. And they know my door is a revolving door, and they can come in any time. They don't have to have an appointment. Just walk in. Sometimes they walk in and just need someone to talk to, and I'm here for them. As much as I can be here, I try to be here for them. And they know they can call me any time of night. I get calls 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning from some of these moms because they can't sleep. So that's where I step in to try to help them so they can have a peaceful night. And we do all this with the help of the Lord, you know, because I stepped out on faith when I started this. So that's where my primary funding comes from, is my family. I get a couple of people that donate to me, but my primary caregivers for this organization is my family. And we're running pretty much out of funds. I've been out here for 6 years now, Sandra, and I still haven't got any help.
And you also are not even, in 6 years, you haven't had a salary.
I haven't had a salary in 6 years now.
Okay, and let me ask you one thing, one distinction to really make is that you said this to me when I first went there. You said a lot of these moms, if they weren't coming here, they probably would not have an outlet because if they go and speak to a psychologist or they go speak to someone in you know, clinical, that person has not been through the same pain that they are going through.
And that's what my mothers tell me when they come here. Some of them go to group therapy, I go to a psychiatrist, and they just say it's totally different when they go to a psychiatrist than when they come here. I'm not seeing a psychiatrist, don't know what they're doing, because I guess they do. They are, you know, they are trained for that. But when you have lost someone and you be around other people that lost someone, they relate to each other very well. And it's a strong message, you know, it's taking place. And you've seen that when you was here, that it's very, very powerful for these moms. And they look forward to coming here on Thursdays, and they have a place, and people can listen to them, and they can listen to each other. And they just embrace one another with a lot of love and support from God.
And they feel safe.
And they feel safe.
Because, you know, let it be known also that it's not, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's not just even the victim who lost his life, but it's everyone else who has surrounded their life who now are part of it. I mean, you have children who, and when you go out into the schools, the first time I came across your organization was because I saw the actual outreach program that you were delivering, and a couple of your moms came, and one of the moms actually used to be or she worked for the sheriff's department, and she lost her child, you know, and it was, again, that circumstance that this child, you know, started without her knowing, went down a certain path, or all of a sudden, to their surprise, here the child ends up dead. And, you know, now she's an advocate, and she goes out and talks to the kids. But, you know, what I really was able to see is how these moms now are coming and sharing their stories. And, you know, at the end of the day, is gun violence can strike anyone at any point. You could either be behind the trigger or in front of the trigger, but there are more victims than those two people.
That is so true. That is so
you know?
True.
And I think that's important to understand and to realize that distinction, because at that moment when that happens, where do you go? When your life all of a sudden comes down, and your stories, the moms that you have there, you also have performed and you did an improv show that you had it last year. How is that, or what do you have going?
Yes, we did it back in November of last year, 2007, and right now we're getting ready to start rehearsing again. And I want to put the show on the road and reach out to all the other cities, and because they have just a lot of gun violence as well, and to those mothers as well. I'm trying to reach out to them, let them know that we the Mothers Against Murders is here, and eventually we're going to be everywhere, not only in Palm Beach County. Because when I set this up, Sandra, I didn't know it was going to take off the way it did. And so I set it up for cover the entire state of Florida. But it's just so busy here in Palm Beach County, it's hard to get out of the state of Florida, out of West Palm Beach, exactly. So, but we're going to pray about it and move forward and help many people as we possibly can.
Now, what can the listeners do? What do you need in your organization if you right now can, because this is going to take off, and I can guarantee you that that is the purpose. My stand with your organization is that you are doing, you know, you are doing a service that nobody else can do. I couldn't even go and do your service because you have a bridge of connection between the people who have suffered this violence and who have been victims and who have been victimized, you know, whether they were there because, you know, that was their day or because they just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time or because they were persecuted by someone else who wanted to just get revenge or because they were robbed, you know, for so many, many other reasons. You are there, and I feel that we have to help you. We have to, because you are in turn helping not only the generation that's presently there involved, but also the coming generation, which if unless we come in and intervene and prevent and inform and re-educate and realign, these children are going to be falling prey to the same violence, and that is not what we want.
You're absolutely right. And I'm just asking the community to help reach out. I know it's tough times, you know, especially financially for me, for everyone right now, but I know it's got to be someone out there that's willing to step out on faith with us and help us financially, because we are 501c3, so they get a tax break. Any tax donations we get, we're able to give them a tax break to be a part of this. You know, they can be anonymous if they like. It doesn't matter. We just ask them for financial support and to help these, you know, help the mothers. Because sometimes a lot of my moms come in, they don't have insurance. They don't have a financial need to put their child in a suit to be buried in. That's where we have to step in and help those mothers. I have did so many mothers with who they haven't seen any food for the funeral. We have stepped in and helped the mothers with food for after the funeral. So I'm just asking for everyone to support us on this if they can.
And you also would appreciate some help if there are grant writers or people who can support you as far as the administrative business itself. Would that be a help as well?
Yes, please. Anyone that's a grant writer. We definitely need a grant writer that would like to donate their services because we're not able to pay anyone financially right now because all our money is tied up in trying to keep the office going. And if anyone would like to visit the office or give us a call, they can call in and give us a call, 561-842-8230. And we're also located in West Palm Beach. And the address is 2100 45th Street, Unit B5. And that's right in West Palm Beach off of 45th Street in Congress. So we're in a, you know, good area where we can be easily found so that if they want to find us, they can. We appreciate any help we can get.
Also, your website is?
www.mothers, M-O-T-A-T-R-S, against murderers, murderersassn.org.
And Angela, how, in closing, because we have 1 minute to go, what has sustained you as a strong hold, holding all of this together?
What have helped me so much is that I have a love and support family that that really helps a lot, and everybody knows what I'm trying to do out here. And I pray a lot, Sandra. I pray all the time on trying to save these kids' life because there's just so many dying out here, and I just can't see another child gunned down in the streets. So I have to keep pushing hard as I can to try to save these kids. And I'm just asking everybody else for their support.
And what do you say to people who come and say something against bringing God into our schools and bringing God into our lives again?
Well, you know, when we was young, we was raised up in the church. So we always had God in our life. So we always believed in faith. But, you know, everybody has their own religion. I'm not going to knock anyone on what they do for their religion. But I know personally I have to have God in my life to continue to do what I do.
And with the children that are coming up?
When the kids that come here, because we have a program that with girls, a girls program, I call them Golden Touch for Girls program. I have about 30 girls in that program. And when they come in here, we pretty much like to have mentors for them, and find out what's going on in school, how the grades are, and plus they do a lot of fun things too, and education, and we just talk to the girls about a lot of things that they can't talk at home. So we are trying to save those 30 girls' lives so they won't go down the wrong path.
Okay. Good, Angela. Well, you definitely have given us a lot to, a lot of awareness and a lot of areas in which people can actually plug in, and to include the Rise to Win for Our Youth movement, because this is all about bringing people together and being able to now say, okay, what is it that you want to do? Where would you like to help? And this organization is a grassroots organization that's doing, and you can support them as well. So, Angela, it has been my honor to have you on the show, and I thank you. And I know collectively, we are thankful to you, because it takes an amazing heart and an incredible ability to do what you're doing. So just from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, Angela.
All right.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another presentation with Power to Be You and Rise to Win for Our Youth movement. Please log in to Angela's website and plug in, figure out how you can support her, how you can support the youth, and how you can make a difference by sharing what you know, what you have, and what you can give. This has been Sandra Bueno. Thank you.